So let's go ahead and pray as we approach the Word of God, because it's not important what I say, it's important what He says. I can come to you with all the human wisdom and the thoughts that I can research, and just because you read it on the internet does not mean it's true, you know. But this, and your pastor has taught you, the Word of God stands forever. And that's what's important, the living, active, breathing Word of God. So let's open up our hearts to His Word and to His Holy Spirit right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand before You, God, humbly. What an honor, God, that we can share together Your holy written Word. Speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. Reinforce something that we already know about You. Show us something in Your Word that we've never seen before, and help us to apply it to our lives to bring glory to You and expansion to Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. This morning, I want to talk to you about what you might have in your hand. First of all, let's do this. Everybody take your hands, and I want you to look at them just for a second here. When you look at your hands, I don't know if you've ever just taken some time to think about how amazing our Creator made us. These hands have opposable thumbs. That's the reason why dogs can't pick up a glass. It's the reason why cats can't do things. It's the reason why your cat can't write for you your homework assignment, all right? Opposable thumbs are part of God's design, but when you look at the human hand, you realize something pretty amazing. Did you know that 1/4 of all the bones in your body are in your hands? 27 bones in these hands. We can crush things. We can pick things up that are 30 pounds. Or we can lightly thread a needle. Or paint a beautiful brush stroke on just that right spot. We have the ability to feel minute things, heat, cold, vibration, all from our hands. Amazing gifts God has given every one of us. These hands, I submit to you today, were not meant to carry your cares. 1 Peter 2:24, this is not in my sermon notes, by the way, but just I just have this sense that some of you are taking your hands and you're carrying your burdens. You are holding on to some things that I feel like God just wants you just to release to Him. That we release and that we give it to Him. Because when we give God our cares, He's able to handle it. He's able to handle it. So this morning, I just sensed in my heart that was for somebody. Maybe it's for a couple of you. The question that I ask in this sermon title is, what's in your hand? And the first time we see this phrase, we see it in Exodus chapter 4. So go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 4, if you have your Bible. And we're just going to take a little portion of the story of Moses. And many of you know the story because you were perhaps taught about Moses. But we know that Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. We know that at one point he thought he was a deliverer. And he took action and killed a man. And then fled for his life for many, many years. And on the backside of the desert, God actually, the calling that was on his life was still there. Despite the mistakes he had made, despite trying to help God. Have you ever done that? You ever knew that God wanted you to do something, but you did it in the wrong timing? Have you ever known that God wanted you to say something, you said it in the wrong timing, and things kind of got messy? Has that ever happened to you? Right? Me too. Aren't you glad for his grace? Aren't you glad for his mercy? Praise God. Well, Moses discovered that on the backside of a desert. And we're going to go ahead in chapter 4. And this is Moses. And it says, "And Moses answered and said, 'But suppose,'" he's talking to God here, "'suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you.'" Verse 2, "So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.'" Moses had become a shepherd. And I think it's interesting that God asks him, "What's in your hand? What's in your hand?" I want you to reflect on your own life right now. What do you have control over? What tool, what gift, what talent, what thing do you hold in your hand, in figuratively speaking, that God is asking you to give up control of? Now, I want you to, in context, think about what God was literally asking Moses to do. He was asking Moses to relinquish control of the one power tool that he had. Oh, for a shepherd in that time, this tool was so much more than just what we use in a prop on a Christmas play. This was a tool to help him do his job. Help him protect the flock that he was in charge of. It would be used to correct the sheep that were actually gone astray. He could rescue a sheep by pulling it out of a lion's mouth or maybe out of a rock. This was a weapon against wolves. This was a weapon against lions. This was a weapon against bears. For a short time, I may not look like it, but I took Krav Maga. For those of you who don't know, Krav Maga, yes, I'm not speaking in tongues. That is Hebrew for basically close combat. It is Hebrew form of martial arts and self-defense. And for a short time, I took that to where you would learn how to defend yourself. You know, I'm reminded of some of those early, karate shows when I was a kid, where, you know, they would speak in English, but their mouth wouldn't move to English. And they would be using rods to fight. One of my favorite shows as a kid, and I'm showing my age, was something called Kung Fu, because he was a good guy, and he always would seem to be able to beat the bad guy. And I'm thinking about how this shepherd's rod that God is asking Moses to give up control over, had a lot of, first of all, it takes humility. It takes humility to give up control to somebody else. Humility to say, "It's yours." God says to him, "What's in your hand?" What's in your hand? A rod. He said, "Cast it to the ground." And he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God, their fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So what am I saying here? Well, something could be in your hand that God may be asking you to give up control over. Something that we human beings love to control things. We love to be in control. And we get upset when we're not. We have tantrums. Oh, and if you think kids are the only ones, I've seen adults. I work retail. I've had my face melted off many times. It is not my fault that you dropped your phone in the toilet. So don't blame me that you don't know your password either. And so we human beings, we don't like to be out of control. But you don't understand. You don't understand. I need this. One day I was at work, and I thank God that I managed to have self-control. And for those of you that have trouble in this area, just work retail for a little while and don't get fired and you'll be okay. It'll help your flesh stay in control, especially at Christmas time. Go pick up a part-time job at the mall. It'll really help you. It'll help keep your flesh under control. Either that or you'll be fired, one of the two. So one day I'm checking somebody in, and this very tall gentleman, very distinguished gentleman, he came in and he said, I need my computer fixed, and I need to talk to somebody now. Well, I looked on our little schedule where I work, and I said, we can see you in about 3.5 hours. That did not go over well. And he was out of control. He melted my face off. He proceeded to tell me he wanted to talk to a manager, and he do you know who I am? Is what he said. I'm like, no. I don't. So he says, just let me talk to a manager. So talk to a manager, and lo and behold, I didn't realize it. He was the head of a particular sporting referee organization. Half of the people in the store that were a lot younger than me, they all knew him. They knew who he was. He was a famous in the sports arena. I won't say which one. Because I don't want to disparage the man, because later on he did come and apologize to me. So, but in a sports arena context, he was one of the head officials. And he came over to me afterwards. He said, I want to apologize. And I thought, that's rare. And I accepted his apology and I said, well, thank you for saying sorry. He said, my mom taught me a whole lot better than that. He said, I'm just stressed out. Why do we get stressed out? Because there are things that we don't have control over. Moses had control over his staff, but he offered it to the Lord. And when he did, God used it as an instrument to help deliver the children of Israel. So I asked the question, what is in your hand today? What do you have control over that you might have to relinquish control in order to see the power of God manifest? We were singing about breakthrough. We were singing about your praise is ever on my lips. Right? But see, there is a God side of the situation you might be in, and there's a man side. Almost every single miracle or breakthrough you and I as believers have ever experienced, I want to just submit to you, give God something to work with. Do your part, let him do his. Do your part, let him do his. And that God side, that's all on him. God was the one who chose to make the staff into a serpent as a sign. God was the one who used Moses to use the staff and strike the rock so that water would come out. Or to hold your staff over the Red Sea and watch it part. It was a symbol of authority. It was a symbol of power. And it was a symbol of God's presence with his people. Whatever you give to God, give it willingly and watch God do the rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says this. And brethren, when I come to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. And then I was thinking about this, and I thought, human wisdom would say, why would you give up the tool? Why would you give up the thing? Why would you give it up control? You would for a greater cause and for a greater good. Why would you give up human wisdom? You see, when God comes through, many times what he's asking us to do, the man side of things, is usually pretty insignificant. It's something you can do. You could throw the staff down. You have the ability to do that, right? You have the ability to give God something to work with. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the New Testament gives us a reason. For we are co-workers in God's service. You're God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given you or given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. God has, he's got something for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got something for you. But he's asking something from you. And that is, you need to give God something to work with. There are four examples in Scripture that we can see this played out. That if you'll just give God something to work with, you can see breakthrough happen in your life. But it does take humility. It takes trust. It takes faith. Do you trust him with your finances? Uh-oh, he's going to talk about money. No, I'm just going to throw it out there. If that's something that's picking at you, then talk to God about it. So there are four examples that we can see in Scripture. The first one I've already given you, Moses. Moses gave his staff. He gave control over the tool that would have been so important to him in his job as shepherd. But it was also symbolic that he would be shepherding God's people. He would be shepherding them and delivering them out of the mouth of the enemy, Egypt, at that time. So Moses' staff, We've seen that. Give him something to work with. It was a tool. It was protection. It was power. It was security. You know, sometimes the things that we hold on to, that we deem that we're comfortable with, we don't want to give up. We don't want to give up. You know, in my line of work, because I am bivocational, so often, in order to help somebody, I've got to ask them to hand me their phone. You would think I was asking for $1 million. Because we have become so attached to our electronic devices that that's our security blanket. What if God were to tell you today to put your phone down for a week? I hear the screams already. They're silent screams at the moment. But what if he were to tell you that? In order to see a breakthrough that you've been believing God for years? Could you do it? I'm just asking. You say, have you done it? I have. In my family, we have done what we call a phone fast. What is that? Well, we all walked into the house. We agreed on the time frame, and we put our phone in a drawer in the kitchen when we walked in. We were only, because of what I do as a pastor, I was allowed to check my messages and my email one time during the day. Yes, one time. I was not allowed to scroll on Facebook or Instagram or go on any social media. I was not allowed to check the news site because guess what? It's usually negative anyway. I just was allowed to check my email and see if anybody needed me as pastor. That was it. And I got to tell you, it was freeing. What were we doing? Giving God something to work with. As a result, God was able to talk to us a whole lot clearer. It's amazing when you remove the obstacles and take control these hands. 27 bones, quarter of the bones in your body. And you actually let somebody else control. Wow. Okay. So Moses' shepherd's staff was a tool. It was protection. It was power. It was security. It was authority. Okay, what's another example? David's sling. Now, we have modern day slingshots. But David was pretty amazing with a sling. His sling looked a lot like this. Most likely. And he could target practice with this. Because when you're a shepherd boy and all you have to do is protect the flock, and then you would probably get pretty good at target practice. You ever watched a boy, and girls do this too, who all they do is keep shooting baskets and shooting baskets and shooting baskets. And do you notice how good they get? Because they're focused on it. David was really good with his sling. And up against Goliath, this doesn't make sense. Does it? Think about it just for a second. Up against Pharaoh, did this make any sense? No. But when it is relinquished and given to God, God can do so much more. Paul writes in Ephesians and says, exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask, think, dream, or imagine. Beyond your imagination. So David, he had a sling. He probably had a shepherd's staff too. But for whatever reason, in 1 Samuel 17, and you can go ahead and turn there if you'd like, we're not going through the entire Goliath story, but I would encourage you, go ahead and revisit it. it's worth revisiting. David's relationship with God was such that his heart was given to God. Not necessarily just a sling. He walked with God. In fact, when he was convincing Saul to allow him to go and to meet Goliath, he said in verse 36, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." Now, in the story, Saul tries to say, hey, you need to wear my armor. You need to do human wisdom here. He's a warrior. You're a shepherd boy. Didn't make sense. Now, he's the king. And if you're the shepherd boy, you're going to at least try and do what the king tells you to do. So he puts on Saul's armor. I'm speeding the story up, so we're not here until 3 o'clock. 2 maybe, but... What? The Baptist going to beat you to lunch? I'm joking. I grew up Baptist, I can say that. All right. So he puts on Saul's armor, but this shepherd boy says, it doesn't fit. It's not right. Doesn't work. You know, there are times when you're facing things in your life where human wisdom, you try it and it doesn't feel right. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He said, it's like taking a shower with your socks on. You ever done that? So David takes the sling, but I like what it says in verse 40. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. My favorite line in Scripture right here for this story is, once you have a word from God that you've got to go do something, there's a boldness that comes on you that nobody could take away. He just told the king, I can't use your armor. That could have been an insult, right? But he kept on going. And he went and he chose 5 smooth stones. Up against Goliath, why would he choose 5? From what we know from Scripture, there's a good indication that Goliath had brothers. They probably were genetically large as well. We know there were other giants, for sure. So the speculation is Goliath had brothers and David was ready. But I love this line, and I want you to see it in Scripture right there. And it says this. He took his staff in his hand, chose for himself 5 smooth stones and from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. He actually walked in to the danger. He walked in to that place. He didn't run from it. That was courage. And that's something that in our society, it seems like we're missing. But it was because of David's heart. Give God your heart. Give him that to work with. God didn't ask David for his sling. God asked David for his heart. And we see that with Moses, he asked for the staff. With David, he's asking for his heart, and he had his heart. That's why he could tell David what to do. When you are walking with God, God goes with you. You take Jesus to work with you. You take Jesus to school with you. And there is a boldness that can come from that kind of relationship with God, that you are no longer afraid of what people say about you, but you just continue to stand up and do what God tells you to do. Jesus only said and did what his Father told him to do. God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. He wants the kind of relationship that he can tell you to go talk to somebody and say something that could be pretty bold. That could be, you might cause a fight with this, but you say it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and you watch what God will do. You watch what God will do when you only say and do what he tells you to do. My advice to you is that whatever's in your hand, let it go. Martin Luther said this, I have held many things in my hand. I've lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Why? Because God possesses me. When you've given your life to God, then you can say, like the Apostle Paul, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. When you pour yourself out that way, you don't care what people think about you. We can look at the comparison between Saul's armor and David's sling in this story. And Saul's armor was a tool. David's sling was a tool. There was protection involved in Saul's armor. To a certain degree, there was protection involved in David's sling. There was power involved in Saul's armor. There was power involved in David's sling. There was security in Saul's armor. There was security in David's sling because he knew how to operate it. But ultimately, it was because of his relationship with God, and he had given God his heart. And I love the fact that, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. When you have a boldness and you have given your heart to God, then there is a boldness that can rise up on the inside of you to go, and nobody's going to talk you out of it. There is actually we have two more examples. We're going to get through these very quickly. Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. What are you going to give God to work with? In 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a story that many times is preached. And I love the story because in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says this, verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil and some flour. A jar of oil and some flour. Up against what she's facing, is this human wisdom? Question, not a trick question. Is this human wisdom? If that's all she has. Look at it. It says, a jar of oil. And then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From everywhere. From all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Don't gather just a few. Don't gather just a few. Give God something to work with. What do you have in your house? That's what the prophet asked her. Don't gather just a few. When you don't gather just a few, that means you're going to have more than just two. If she knew what God was going to do, I think she would have just gotten even more. Because we see in the end of the story how God multiplies the oil and she's able to sell it and take care of her debt. I don't know what kind of breakthrough you need in your life, but ask God, God, what do I have in my house that I could offer to you, that I could take the control reins off and give it to you? Watch what God does. Just watch. Don't gather just a few. Our last example is in John chapter 6. Give God something to work with. Turn to your neighbor and say, give God something to work with. You guys with me today? You doing okay? All right. I believe that God is asking the church in this day and hour, what are you going to give me to work with? I like what Brother Raphael was saying, that we are not in a day right now where we can afford to have bench-warming Christians. He wants everybody in it, everybody in the game, everybody on the field, everybody playing the part that God is calling them to play. Every last one of us should be giving God something to work with. Jesus feeds the 5,000 here in John chapter 6. We've probably learned this story perhaps when we were in Sunday school. Perhaps we taught it. Perhaps we read it. And I love this story because in verse 1 it says, and these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he had sat with his disciples, Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing the great multitude around him, says to Philip, where shall we buy bread for thee that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little, a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. This is just a little basket, and inside what looks very similar to the type of cakes that they would have used, if I can get it open here. You and I would call it pita bread. There's 5 loaves. That's about how big that would have been. 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, boy-sized fish, right? This is a boy-sized lunch, although I have a boy, or did. He's 23 now, and he would have eaten about 10 of those, and I was starting to think that he was coursing milk through his veins with as much milk as that young man would drink when he was a teenager. And he'd come home from school and it was the box of cereal and a gallon of milk. And he's not that big. You know, my wife's shorter than me, and so he's not that big, but boy, he could put it down. But this was a boy's lunch. And I love the fact that Andrew, my son's name is Andrew too, so that Andrew actually had enough faith. Listen to me. He had enough faith. Doesn't take a lot to see your breakthrough. He had enough faith that he could go to the boy and ask for the boy's lunch. Think about that just for a second. A strange man coming to your son asking for his lunch. Because I want to bring it to the master. I want to bring it to Jesus. And because there was an expectancy in the crowd, I imagine the mother said, give it to him, give it to him. And Jesus takes what little bit there was up against feeding 5,000. What was that? Anything? Human wisdom. What are you going to get? You're going to feed one person. Maybe two if they're finicky eaters. That's it. That's all you're going to get. But Jesus ignores that. He looks at it and it says, verse 10, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, I thought about this. And if I was a disciple, I would have been uncomfortable. These are hungry people. And I'm going to tell them to sit down right now. What is going on? But it took faith. It took faith for the disciples to make the people sit down. And it says, and there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Now, the application to our lives, give God something to work with. What do you need to throw down in God's presence? What do you need to bring to the master to do something with in order to see his plan and his power released? David's relationship with God made the difference. What's in your control? What action will you take to cooperate with God's plan? The result you experience will be in direct correspondence to your obedience. For the woman, don't just gather a few. What if she only gathered two? No. See, when God tells you to do something, do it with all your might. As I reflected on the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, that is just so monumental. When you think that was just men. When you incorporate women and children, it was well over 10,000 people. By today's standards, to feed 10,000 people with today's economy, it would probably be around $50,000, and that's on the low side. Has anybody in here gone to lunch lately just to get a sandwich? You can't just go in a place with $5. It's a $10 meal or an $8 meal at best. Right? Think about that times 10 to 12,000 people. God is able to do so much if we will just relinquish control. Give God something to work with. I'm so thankful that years ago I gave God my life. And there have been times when he's walked with me, right side by side with me. And I've walked with him. And there are times when he literally has carried me. And if you watch, you know, the famous Footprints in the Sand poem, my journey would look like a couple of times there would be footprints next to each other. And then there would be one set of footprints, and then there would be somebody being dragged. And you would see the sand being dragged, and that's me. But he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Aren't you glad? So whatever it is that God's dealing with you about in your life to see breakthrough, offer it to him right now. Take out your hands. Look at him one more time. I want you to imagine that thing you're giving God. I'm not getting into weird mysticism. I just want you to hold that problem in your hand right now. And I want you to think about what is it that God wants you to offer to him. Could be the problem itself. Just give it to him. It could be there is something that you've been hanging on to because it is in your control. I want you to just look at those hands again. What amazing feats of miraculous engineering. What a gift. And when you offer it to him, he's able to make much. Whether it's a little boy with lunch, a woman offering what she had, and a miracle happens. Whether it's David offering his heart, or Moses offering his tool, his livelihood, whatever it is that God is asking you to. Now just every head bowed in this place, give it to him right now. Give it to him right now. Surrender it. Surrender control of that problem that you've used to identify you and get attention. Give that sickness that you've been almost comfortable with, give it to him. That bitterness, that unforgiveness, give it to him. You want to see God do some really amazing things. Forgive the people you've been hanging on to, wanting to punish them. Let them go. Let it go. Throw it down. Give it to the master. Watch him do what only he can do. Father, right now in this congregation, Lord, you're dealing with hearts. I've been speaking to Christians, God. But maybe there's somebody in here who's not a Christian. They've never accepted Christ in their life. I want to give them an opportunity to make Jesus Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I want you just to raise your hand real high so I can see it. So that's me. Is there anybody you want to ask Jesus into your life, or you want to recommit your life to him so that you can give him your life, something to work with? Anybody at all? Thank you. Let's pray together right now. Let's all say this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come before you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. From this day on, I confess Jesus as my Lord right now. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to tell at least two or three people. Tell some of the leaders in this church. Tell Brother Rafi or Sister Rosie. Tell somebody. They have things to give you and they have things that will help you in your walk with God. As we close this service out, I'm going to make myself available. If you need prayer for, perhaps you need prayer for healing, or something in the message really spoke to you that you need, maybe you need somebody just to help you to give it to God. I'll help you in prayer. I'll be down here. I thank you so much for hearing the Word of God today as I have delivered it the best I know. And I just trust that His Word will continue to work in your lives. This week, ask yourself every time you look at these hands, what can I give to you that you can make great? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.